Today, we like to pick up where Bobby left us a few weeks ago. So if you don't mind, please open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12. When Bobby opened his Bible last time he was preaching and he said he was 12, I was like, please don't go to chapter 12, 3. So he preached 1 and 2. So that was great. So today, my desire is for us to consider the truth that we find on Hebrews 12, verse 3. I'd like to read from verse 1 through 4. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witness, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. I have titled my message today, As You Run, Consider Him. Consider Jesus. And before we go to verse 3, I'd like for us to consider the audience, who the letter was written to. Just as a refresher, I know Bobby explained that to us, but let us consider them. Who are they? Well, we know by the context of the letter that there are Hebrews that have come to believe in Christ. There are Hebrews that are Christians. What do we know about their situation? Well, we see here on this same chapter, on verse 12, that the writer is describing their present situation, and he sees that their hands are drooping, and they need to strengthen their weak knees. So we see that they're struggling. They're right now under tribulation, persecution. As he's writing to them, he's concerned for them. He's telling them that they need to strengthen their knees, their hands, not to give up, right? So we see that this is a group of Christians, of believers, that are struggling. Why do they need this letter? If we go back to chapter 10, we see on verse 32 that he's calling them to recall, to remember. So verse 32, but recall the former days when after you were enlightened, you endure a hard struggle with suffering, sometimes being publicly exposed to reproach and affliction, and sometimes being partners with those so treated. For you had compassion on those in prison, and joyfully accepted the plundering of your property, since you knew that you yourself had a better possession and an abiding one. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. So the writer is writing to a group of believers that find themselves tempted because of the struggles and persecution to drop the race, to pull back. And he's telling them, remember that there was a time in your walk, in your race, where you saw Christ precious and more worthy than any earthly possession that you have, and you were willing to be plundered and suffer persecution for Him. But something is happening. See, and He's concerned for them because they have lost sight of that. The persecution is tempting them to withdraw, to give up. So we're still in verse 10, in chapter 10. And this is what He wants to tell them. Verse 36. For you have need of endurance. They need something, and what they need is to endure, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. That which at one time you saw, and it was more precious, that promise still abides and is yours to have. But you must endure, and you must do the will of God. And if you endure, and if you do it, you will have it. So my goal today is for us to concentrate on 12:3, but on the background, I want us to have this verse, verse 10:36. For you have need of endurance. This is for you. This is for me. This is what we need. We have need of endurance in this Christian race. For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. Don't forget that. You have need of endurance. Endurance in doing the will of God. And if you endure that to the end, you will have the promise, the reward. All right? So now let's go back. 12:3. Well, before we go to 12:3, let's review real quick 12:1 and 2. So, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witness, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. You hear it? Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him, He did what? He endured the cross, despising the shame, and He's seated at the right hand of the throne of God. He's calling them to do a few things. One, to let go of the weights that are entangling them in this race. Two, to let go of the sin that is causing them to be tempted to pull away. Remember what Bowie was sharing with us about looking away to Jesus? He was calling them in the midst of their situation, in the midst of their persecution, to stop looking at what surrounded them and to look away from there to Jesus. Now, verse 3 says, consider Him who, Jesus, consider Him who endured from sinners such hostility against Himself, so that you may no grow weary or faint-hearted. Consider. What does that mean? To consider. Well, He's calling them to look at Jesus, but He's also calling them to consider Him. To consider is to take your mind off of whatever is consuming it right now and set it on Christ. Take your thoughts, take your eyes, take yourself from whatever is distracting you right now and look at him and consider him, study him, listen to him, learn from him. He's setting Christ before them so that they may consider him, for them to take their minds away from persecution, from the temporary trials of this temporary life, and to set their minds on him. Consider him. Think about Christ and not fill in the blank. What's consuming your mind right now? What is the struggle that you're fighting? What is the distraction of this world? Fill in the blank. You know it better than me. Take your mind away from that and set your sight and your mind and your thoughts on Christ. That's what he's calling them. That's how they will endure. That's how they will run the race to the end. So consider him. Listen to him. Stay close to him and keep him in your thoughts, in your sight. Study him, learn from him, and learn more and more and more from him every day. What is he like? What did he say? How did he think? How did he saw the world around him? How did he saw the situations that he encountered? What lenses was he using? Remember that message that Tim preached in the Fathers with the spiritual lenses? That you got to take off the lenses of the world, the flesh, and put on the spiritual lenses so you can see the things according to God. But that's what we need to do. We need to consider Christ and put on Christ in our thoughts, in our mind, and think about him. Examine how he ran his race so that we may imitate him and run our race, following the example that he had laid out for us. I was thinking a few days ago, I was talking to Alex. He's a football coach. And he was sharing how they spend time during the week studying tapes. They actually sit down and they play games and they watch those games and they pay attention to those games and they study those games and they examine those games and they learn from those games so that they can improve for the next game. Consider him. Take your mind and look at him. Study Christ. Watch him run. Listen to him. And then apply what you have learned from him in your race so that you may not be discouraged. In Matthew 16, we find our Lord telling his disciples, I'm going to go to the cross. I'm going to die for you. And Peter comes to tell the Lord, no, let that be not so. And what did Jesus answer to him? He said, get behind me, Satan. He's talking to Peter. Get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of men. He was not considering the truth that Christ was speaking and what Christ was telling him according to the will of God and the things of heaven. He had his mind set on the things of men. And Christ is calling him, take your mind off of that and put it on the things of God. It's the same admonition we hear from Paul in Colossians. He said, set your mind on the things above, where Christ is seated, and not on the earthly things. See, consider Christ. Take your mind out of whatever is distracting you, or whatever burden, situation, persecution, suffering, whatever is happening to you right now, and set your mind on Him. Look away. Like Bobby admonished us, take your eyes out of the situation and look away to Christ. Well, guess what? It's not just your eyes that you need to set away, but it's your thoughts. You gotta take your thoughts and put it away in Christ, away from whatever is here on earth. And let your whole being follow. Your emotions will follow. Your affections for Him will rekindle when you set your mind on Him. The things of this world will be dim and will not have an attraction to you. And you will be able to endure and finish the race. Set your mind on Christ. Consider Him. Consider what about Him? Consider His example. He's set before us right here as an example to imitate. He's set before us as the one who ran the race of faith perfectly to the end, in perfect obedience to the Lord, completely trusting His Father. And the writer is setting Him up before us, and you say, look at Him, consider Him, put your thoughts on Him, play the tapes, study Him, look at His life, look at His race, look at His arms, look at His knees, look at His legs, look how He run. Imitate Him, follow Him. That's the call. You ought to run the Christian life after the pattern that He has set before us. Consider His example. Now, consider who set the race before Him. Because there is a race that was set before you. So before you look at it, step back, play the tape, watch Christ. Who set the race before Him? It was His Father. It was His loving Father who set the race before Him. Acts 3 says, but what God foretold by the mouth of the apostles that His Christ will suffer, He does fulfill. From before the beginning of time, the race was set before Him. The race to run to the cross. And it was set before Him by the Father. Consider Him. John 21 says, well, before that, I forgot to put a note here. I got confused. Sorry. Is the race that was set before Him by the Father. Now, as you look at the tape and you watch His race, now you look at the race that is set before you and you consider Christ who ran the race that was set before Him by His Father and He endured it to the end. And you ask the question, who set the race that is before you to run? It's the same Father. He set the race for you to run. John 21 says that Christ is talking to His disciples. And He's telling Peter in what way He's going to run His race and die to bring glory to God. And Peter is hearing his master, his teacher, His Christ, His Lord, His Savior, telling him that, and he turned his look from Christ, and he looked at the other disciple. And yes, Jeff, I'm going to say it was John. And he looked at John and said, Lord, what about him? What did Christ say? Follow me. What about him? What is him to you? You follow me. This is the race that I have set before you, for you and you alone to run. You follow me. Let him run his race. A lot of times we get distracted. We're looking at our situation, and instead of looking at Christ, looking away to him, considering him, setting our thoughts on him, we consider the person next to us. And we put our eyes on the person next to us. They're not going through this. Their husband didn't leave them. They don't have to deal with this sickness or this trial. Look at their race. They're cruising. That's not the call. If you do that, you will stumble. You will fall. The call is set your eyes on Christ. Look away from that and look away to him. Take your mind out of that and set your mind on Christ. Consider him. He set the race before you for you to run for his glory. Run your race. Consider him. Follow him. Encourage your brother. In another place, it says, consider how to encourage one another. So, yes, encourage your brother, but don't look at him to whine and complain and be bitter. And compare. You run your race, the race that is set before you. Consider him. Consider what was the race set before him. You're called to consider him. Look at his example. Look at the race set before him and consider what was that race. That race set before him was the cross. Consider him. Verse 2 said, look to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. He endured the cross. You have need of endurance. Look at him. His race was the cross. He endured the cross. In Luke 24, he says, the Son of Man, this is Christ himself speaking, says, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hand of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day, rise. It was not optional. He must endure the cross. What about you? Consider what is the race set before you. To him was the cross. And he calls all his disciples to pick up their cross and follow him. What's your cross? What's your race? Consider him. Ephesians 2 says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. You heard that? Just as Christ's race was set before him and planned for him before the foundation of time, your race was planned before the foundation of time by God, your Father, for you to run. And the way you need to run it is with endurance. And the only way you're going to endure is looking away to Jesus and considering Him. Studying Him and running like He ran. In the same manner that Jesus did, we must run. How did Jesus endure? Consider how He endured the cross. How did He endure the race set before Him? Hebrews 5:7 tells us how He endured the race that was set before Him. In the days of His flesh, Jesus offered up prayer and supplications with loud cries and tears to Him who was able to save Him from death, and He was heard because of His reverence. Although He was a son, He learned obedience through what He suffered. How did He endure the cross? He endured the cross in total dependence on His Father. In faith and trust on His Father. He endured the cross, offering up prayers and supplication with loud cries and tears to Him who was able to save Him from death, and He was heard because of His reverence. He was heard and He received the sustenance that He needed to run His race. Now, when you read this, your mind may run to the Garden of Gethsemane when He is crying out to the Father and praying. But you got to step back. You got to watch the video of the race from the beginning. And you got to watch Him. You got to watch Him praying to the Father when He's being baptized, and His Father acknowledging and declaring that He's well pleased with Him. You got to step back and you got to watch Him thanking the Father, breaking the bread, multiplying the bread and the fish, and feeding the multitudes. You got to watch Him praying day all night before He called His disciples. You got to watch Him praying when the Father came down and the cloud revealed the glory of who He was before Peter, James, and John. You got to watch Him praying before the tomb. Father, I thank You because You always hear me. Lazarus, walk. He prayed to the Father. And he depended on the Father. And he trusted His Father. And he ran to the cross. And he endured the cross. And that race is paved with many prayers to His Father for sustenance, for help, for communion, with loud cries and tears. And He was heard. And His Father delighted to supply everything He needed. You consider Christ. Consider how He depended on His Father to run His race, and how His Father was delighted to supply everything He needed to run the race. And now consider your race. How are you running? Are you going to the Father, crying out to Him, begging Him to supply what you need, or you think you can do it on your own? Are you depending on your own strength and wisdom? Or are you depending on Him? On His strength. On His wisdom. On His delight to display His mighty power answering your prayers so that you may run and He may be glorified. How are you running your race. And how will you endure? Consider how Christ endured. He endured relying on his Father. In the same manner that Jesus did, we ought to do it. In total dependence of the Father, consider him. Hebrews 4. Look at that. 4:14. This is for us. You who have need of endurance. Hebrews 4:14 is for you. Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confessions. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence, draw near to the throne of grace. For what? That we may receive mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. You're running your race. Your hands are drooping. You're tired. Where will your help come from? Where will you receive the grace, the power to run your race? It's not looking at yourself. And in thus looking and considering someone else, but only Christ. You consider him as he went to his Father and cried out to the Father for help, for sustenance. He presented his plea and he was answered. You draw near to the throne of grace, where Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father, interceding for you. And you trust the Father and present your cry. And he will give you the grace and the mercy. He will give you the help that you need to endure, so you can run your race and glorify him to the end. Consider him. Consider not only how he endured to the cross, but consider why he endured the cross. Why did he endure? I got a quote from Oswald Chambers from his devotional, My Utmost for His Highest. He says, "The joy of Jesus was his absolute self-surrender and self-sacrifice to his Father. The joy of doing that which the Father set him to do. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross." Hebrews 12:2. And then he quotes Psalms 48. "I delight to do your will, oh my God." The joy set before him. The joy set before him was the total surrender to the will of the Father and walk and run the race in obedience to the Father, to the cross. John 6 says, "For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me." The joy of Christ was to do the will of the Father. Mark 14:36. "Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me. Yet, not what I will, but what you will." He's looking at the cross. He's kneeling before the Father, praying. "May this cup pass, yet not my will, for your will. The joy of Christ in doing the will of the Father. But that's not it. That's not the whole thing. Consider him who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Part of the joy set before him was you. It was me. He looked away to the future glory. He saw the joy of obeying the Father and laying his life as a sacrifice and then taking it back on the third day and ascend and intercede for you, for me. He endured that cross so that you and I may have life. He gave his life so that you may have life. Consider him. Hebrews 2:10 says that his joy was to bring many sons to glory. Hebrews 10:5 presents Christ speaking. Consider him. Consider his words. Listen to him speak to us. He says, when Christ came into the world, he said, sacrifices and offering you have not desired, but a body have you prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sin offerings you have taken no pleasure. Then Christ said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God, and it's written of me in the scroll of the book. Verse 10 says, and by that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Consider him that for the joy set before him endure the cross. The joy set before him was to bring many sons to glory, to sanctify you and me. Consider him. For Christ also suffered once for sin, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he may bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit. Consider him, and now consider why you must endure. Why will you endure the race? He endured it for the joy set before him, obeying the Father and bringing many sons to glory. Why would you endure it? What's your reason? You got to think about it. Because that's what the writer is doing. He's calling his audience to consider the race. Why are you running? He called him to remember why they started running and why they suffered plunder and the joy that was set before them. They did it joyfully at one time, but they forgot. They got distracted. Why are you running, sister? Why are you running, brother? What's the reason? Is there joy ahead for you? Do you see it? Or is it just a duty, a heavy burden? Because if it is a heavy burden, you know what? You're going to be tempted to drop it and trim back. It is not worth it, you will say. You got to meditate on this. You got to look at Christ. You got to consider him. You got to consider your race. Because it's going to cost you. You got to weigh it. Is it worth it? Look at him. Is it worth it? Many of you don't remember. My wife and I cried many cries, and many of here cry many cries, when we saw one who we call brother, who was running well, give up. He couldn't take it no more. His brother died. His family was inundated with bills of sickness, hospital bills, sickness, trials, tribulation, anxiety. It was too much. And many other temptations. And he quit. And still today, many of us pray for him. Are you ready to answer that question? Will you continue running when it gets difficult? It is now that you need to look at him. It is now that you need to look away. It is now that you need to take your mind, consider him, and set it on him, the rock, so you can be firm and ready to endure the race. It's not going to get easier. Are you ready? Play the tape. Watch him. Study him. Consider him. Look at him running. Look how he sprints. Look at his shape. Look at his form. Look at his arm. Look at his legs. Run like he did. This is real. You will make shipwreck of your faith if you don't consider him now and find him worthy. Because if it is a burden, you will give up. But if there is joy set before you and you can see it, if you can look at him now and you can see him sitting at the right hand of the Father, waiting for you to give you the crown, oh, you will run. Oh, you will endure. You will. There is no doubt of that. Are you ready? Have you considered him? Are you ready to give him the place of honor in your heart that he deserves? Are you ready to set him in your affections at holy? Set apart. There is nothing in this world that can compete with him. I will endure. I will give my life if I have to for him. Are you there? Have you looked at him? Have you looked away to him? Have you considered him? Have you waited him? Does he have more value than anything this earth, this world, this temporary life can offer? Is he precious to you? If he's not now, and the trial come, you will not endure it. Now is the time, today, to set your eyes on him, to consider him. Place your mind on Christ. Study him. Listen to him. Learn from him to endure. Trust in the Father. Praying for grace and mercy, for the help in the time of need. Consider him. There is much more we can say. But guess what? The Christian life is a constant consideration of him. Now and forevermore. So your homework is to go home and consider him. And he speak to you. And he show you the way. consider him. Run like he ran. Endure to the end so that you may receive your reward. May God help us. I want to finish with chapter 13, verse 20 and 21. That's a prayer. Now, may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do His will, working in us that which is pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. May God help us to run with endurance. Thank you for your time.